So tonight we're going to talk, well, we're going to be looking at a book of the Bible that takes up approximately one page of your Bible. It has 25 verses, and I believe it to be a masterpiece written about forgiveness and reconciliation. But something that's particularly interesting about this book, you'll never find the word forgiveness or reconciliation anywhere in it. Anybody want to guess what it is? Philemon? Yes, good guess. So tonight we're going to look at the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is a letter written to a slave owner named Philemon, who has a runaway slave named Onesimus, whom the Apostle Paul is sending back to Philemon. Because this is the purpose of the book, I think it is often skipped. It's a skipped over book. It is my goal this evening to show you how this book can be useful to you. It's important to know as Christians we have a need to forgive and we have a need to know how to forgive. I suppose I could take you to the usual scriptures that command us to forgive and say, see, God says we need to forgive, so forgive, it's commanded of you. But that kind of forgiveness is forced. It's done under compulsion. Forced forgiveness doesn't bring reconciliation. It doesn't remove the unwillingness to forgive. A couple of things we should consider about Philemon and why we need to study this book. First, God preserved this book for us, so there must be a message in it for us. Secondly, notice that this book was not written to Philemon alone, as we might assume. Carefully read verse 2 and you will see that not only is this letter written to Philemon, but also to Appia, Archippus, and the church that met in Philemon's house. So if you would, please turn with me to the book of Philemon. It's between Titus and Hebrews. I think a lot of times we're reading our Bible and we just jump right from Titus to Hebrews. So looking at verse 1, Paul writes, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Appia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see from these three verses this letter wasn't just written to Philemon. It's a letter written to the whole church. Therefore, the message in this book is useful for each of us. As we read through this letter, I would like you to consider how Paul speaks to Philemon about forgiveness. Yet notice the words forgiveness, it's never mentioned. Paul writes in verse 4, he says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will even do more more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, send you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What Paul does in the opening of this letter, beginning in verse 4, he describes the right character a Christian should have. Paul highlights qualities a mature Christian would have, such as love and faith. We can tell from our reading that Philemon is good-natured and he's faithful. Paul says that Philemon has love for all the saints, and the love he shows to saints has brought him great joy and encouragement. And this refreshing that is taking place with the Lord's people has also brought joy and encouragement to the heart of Paul, who is under house arrest in Rome. You see, Paul is encouraged because Philemon is characterized by virtues that will forge a restored relationship with Onesimus. Paul is thankful because Philemon is doing things Christians are supposed to do. Christians are to show love and faith towards Christians, not just Jesus Christ. This is Christian character, love and faith towards other Christians. Notice what Paul says in verse 6. It can be a little bit misleading to our ears to read what Paul prays. He says, that your partnership with us in the faith, or as the ESV reads, that the sharing of your faith may become effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing in us for the sake of Christ. We oftentimes think of sharing our faith, we think typically of teaching the lost, but this is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is speaking of the faith that Philemon and Paul share, the faith they both share in Christ Jesus. This is the same faith that we share. Paul prays that the faith that Philemon has, the faith that he shares with Paul, will be put into action, and that it may become effective, that it may produce a desired result. The sharing of our faith makes it effective. It leads us to maturity. It's one thing to know the scriptures and have faith, but we must perform and act on the faith we share, making it effective. So Paul's prayer for Philemon is that being effective with his faith will help deepen Philemon's understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. I used to think in verses 4 through 7, I used to think Paul was just buttering Philemon up. But after studying and teaching Philemon, I no longer think this. I think all that Paul says is from a sincere heart. I think Paul has actually seen Philemon's love. But how has Paul seen Philemon's love? Remember, Paul is miles away under house arrest. Consider this work that Philemon is doing. He's refreshing the hearts of the saints. He's showing faith and love to God's people. And this has all impacted Paul personally. Paul's heard of Philemon's love all the way in Rome. And he writes in verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Philemon's love for all the saints has been so effective. This refreshing that's going on, the faith that he shows towards other Christians has allowed Paul to see the love this man has for all Christians. There's another fascinating aspect about this book. Not only does Paul not use the word forgiveness, but nowhere in it does God command us to forgive or to be reconciled. Yet the message to reconcile and forgive is in every statement that Paul writes. Why would this be? Why would Paul not just come out and command Philemon to forgive Onesimus? We see this point in verse 8. Paul could take the authority as an apostle and command forgiveness. Paul could simply invoke the authority given to him to compel Philemon to forgive. Further, the apostle Paul even says that he is bold enough to do so. Paul says right there in verse 8, he said, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Paul's not afraid to command this of Philemon. But this is not what Paul wants. The Apostle Paul wants Philemon to forgive on his own accord, once hearing what Paul tells him. Commanding Philemon would only seem forced. This is likely why Paul does not refer to himself as an apostle as he opens this letter in verse 1, but calls himself a prisoner. He refers to this situation again in verse 9. Paul desires to appeal to Philemon not as a superior and not as an apostle, but as an old man and as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Think for a moment about how Paul could easily command Philemon to forgive. Paul could easily quote scripture from the Old Testament or the very words of Jesus for the necessity of forgiveness. For example, Matthew 6:14. He could have quoted, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Paul could even quote himself from his other letter that he already sent to the church in Colossians 3:13. He could have quoted, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." But this is not what Paul does. He does not invoke his authority. He does not quote the words of Jesus to command Philemon. He does not quote his own words that he already penned to the church in Colossae. So what is the reason Philemon must forgive? If command is not necessary, why should he forgive? In verse 9, the Apostle Paul says that he is making his appeal to Philemon to forgive Onesimus, he says, for love's sake. Paul is saying, "Therefore, Philemon, show the effectiveness of your Christian love again. We forgive one another because that is what love does. We do not begrudgingly forgive because we are commanded to, and we are afraid that we will not go to heaven because our sins will not be forgiven. Forgiveness out of compulsion is not Christian forgiveness. Consider for a moment, if I wronged you, and you come to me and you tell me that you forgive me because you have to, there's not much restoration and reconciliation of the relationship that is happening. This does not reflect the love and graciousness of God. We forgive because that is what love does. If we will not forgive other Christians, then we do not have love." Listen for a moment how Paul has emphasized his desire for Philemon to show Christian love without compulsion throughout this letter. In verse 1, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner, not an apostle. In verse 1, Paul calls Philemon a fellow worker, not a subordinate. In verse 8, he says he will not command Philemon about this matter, but he appeals to him on the basis of love. In verses 13 and 14, Paul says he could have kept Onesimus, but he wanted Philemon to do nothing out of compulsion and nothing without his consent. And verse 17, Paul speaks of Philemon as his partner. Paul understands that the partnership we have in Christ Jesus is effective when we understand that a partnership takes place where believers recognize that other believers are essential for their well-being. Partnership is found where persons view one another as equals in worth and importance. A partnership in Christ Jesus enables us to find those resources necessary to love and necessary to forgive and to view one another as important and valuable. Therefore, do not forgive because you have to. Do not forgive because you are commanded to forgive. Forgive because that's what it means to love one another. Forgive because we share in the faith, and putting that faith into action and making it effective demands forgiveness. I'm going to push this even a little bit further. If we choose not to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ who come to us and desire to receive forgiveness, then we do not know or understand the gospel. We do not understand the love of God. We do not understand what it means to be a Christian. We do not know the faith and love that has been delivered to us. The gospel is about forgiveness and reconciliation. Our faith is made effective when we put it into action through forgiving those who have hurt or have wronged us. It doesn't matter what a person has said or what a person has done. For a moment, consider from the text that Onesimus has probably stolen from Philemon. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the wrong is that has been committed. We are to forgive because this is what it means to believe in the Lord and have faith in the Lord. As we move on to verse 10, Paul writes to Philemon and to the church that meets in his home, and he tells Philemon that something amazing has happened. Paul writes, "I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." What this means is that somehow, through the providence of God, this runaway slave encountered Paul and became a Christian through Paul's teaching. Now Onesimus is helping and serving Paul during Paul's imprisonment, so much so that Onesimus has become very useful to Paul spiritually. Paul writes in verse 11, he says, "Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me." Think about this for a moment. There is some irony here because Onesimus, as you know, his name means useful. But Onesimus had become a useless slave to Philemon, but now is very useful to Paul. So useful is Onesimus to Paul that Paul wants to keep Onesimus with him. But in verse 12, Paul writes, "I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart." Paul does not want to assume the goodness of Philemon. So he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon so that Philemon's goodness could come from his own desire, not out of compulsion. But I want you to consider what Paul is asking Philemon to do. While the ESV and the NASB read that your goodness might not be by compulsion, and the NIV reads favor rather than goodness, many translations read good deed. Paul is wanting Philemon to perform a good deed on his own accord and not out of his compulsion. What is Paul desiring Philemon to do? What is the good deed that he desires from Philemon? You see, Paul supposed that an occasion had occurred in which an opportunity was furnished to Philemon to show to the world how much he was governed by the truth of the gospel. This is why Paul has sent Onesimus back to Philemon. Paul wants Onesimus to stand face to face with Philemon. This is the opportunity for these two to be able to reconcile through godly gracious forgiveness. This is the good deed Paul wants Philemon to do. This is the good deed God wants you and I to see. This is perhaps why this book was preserved for us. Consider for a moment that the good deed to merely be letting Paul keep Onesimus has problems without forgiveness and reconciliation. Philemon could have the attitude that Paul can keep that useless slave. Philemon could take the attitude, I don't want to be around that useless slave. Even taking the financial loss of letting Onesimus stay with Paul would be worth it just to get him away from him. Do you see that this would not be a good deed? Philemon can only accomplish a good deed for Paul in giving Onesimus to Paul if the problem between Philemon and Onesimus is resolved. Think about it. We have no problem staying away from people that we have problems with. We have no problem steering clear of those who have wronged us and harmed us. The hard part is to come face to face with that person and do what is good for the other, not for self. That is what Paul is asking Philemon to do. You will notice that this is what Paul is preparing Philemon to do earlier in the letter. Paul extolled about, he has heard of Philemon's love and faith for all the saints in verse 5. Paul has received joy and comfort because Christians are always refreshed when they are with Philemon. Paul knows that Philemon shares in the same faith as him and will continue to make the faith effective by doing every good thing for the sake of Christ. Paul has even appealed on the basis of love's sake rather than commanding what is required of Philemon to do, so that Philemon will have the opportunity to do the right, godly, righteous act. The godly act is not to give Onesimus to Paul without forgiveness and reconciliation, but to forgive Onesimus and then set him free to serve Paul on Philemon's behalf. Paul presents this idea in Philemon in verse 15 and 16. Paul says that maybe, just maybe, the reason Onesimus was gone for this time was so that Philemon would be able to enjoy Onesimus forever. But he would not enjoy him as a slave any longer, but as a beloved brother in Christ. Paul says that if Onesimus is a beloved brother to me, how much more will he be for you? Here's Paul making the observation that things may have happened so that Onesimus would become a believer in Jesus, and now they would be able to enjoy a far greater and different relationship. Now the relationship is not that of a slave, but as a brother in Christ who is with Philemon, not only in flesh, but also in the Lord. Their physical relationship will be different, and now they have a new spiritual relationship because Onesimus is now a Christian. In verse 15, Paul presents the possibility that perhaps this was God working through this whole scene. Consider for a moment, if the Apostle Paul's in Rome, and that is where he was believed to be, for Onesimus to be in Asia Minor and to go west all the way to Italy and end up in the city of Rome, then for Onesimus to end up in the sphere of Paul and then to hear the gospel Paul is preaching while being kept as a prisoner under house arrest, then for Onesimus to hear the gospel and become a believer, what are the odds that God's hands are in this? It's almost unbelievable, and that is what Paul is referencing here. For perhaps this is why Onesimus was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, Philemon, but as someone who is useful to you, a dearly loved brother in Christ. Yes, Philemon, you've suffered, but look at the greater good. Maybe some of you have noticed that this story has a familiar tone to the story about Joseph. What Joseph's brother did to him, it was evil. He lost 13 years of his life, and he had every reason to be angry. But consider for a moment this question. What helped Joseph not retaliate or respond in an ungodly way? Joseph could have made his brother suffer. But Joseph recognized that the evil done against him was used by God to accomplish good. Think about that for a moment. Joseph recognized that the evil done against him was used by God to accomplish good. Perhaps this evil done to you, Philemon, happened so that God's goodness might be put on display. God caused good out of a horrible situation. This is the heart Paul is trying to get us to see. A heart that is willing to take a horrible situation and turn it into good. A heart that knows God is working out all things for our good. This is what reconciliation and forgiveness looks like. We are able to forgive someone who has done wrong to us because we know the great power of God to accomplish good through our suffering and through our hurt. This is why James can tell us to count it all joy when we encounter various trials. Good is being accomplished by what we are enduring, which frees us to be forgiving. The Apostle Paul presents this very idea to Philemon. God has done something great with the pain experienced and the loss suffered. Onesimus is now a brother in Christ and has been serving Paul. God is working in the matter and is accomplishing His purposes. Notice that the Apostle Paul continues teaching about reconciliation in verse 17. Paul writes, "Receive him as you would receive me." How does it sound like Philemon would receive Paul? They sound like they're great friends. Paul calls Philemon a beloved fellow worker, In verse 17, Paul speaks of Philemon as a partner. In verse 22, Paul states that he is hoping to come stay with him in his house. Paul is saying, Philemon, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. Even though Onesimus has caused you harm, Philemon is to receive Onesimus as if he were receiving Paul himself. This teaches us what forgiveness and reconciliation look like. You will receive the person back to you like you are receiving Christ himself or an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is not merely a lack of retaliation. Forgiveness is about restoration. Forgiveness is about how we receive each other and have a relationship with each other. Please think about the fact that this is the way God receives us when we are forgiven. Forgiveness does not merely mean that God will not execute wrath on us for what we have done. Forgiveness also means that we are fully restored into relationship with God. Forgiveness means that we are reconciled to our God. Forgiveness without reconciliation is not forgiveness at all. I love the way Paul gives Philemon this picture. He said, receive him as you would receive me, because that is what Christian love and forgiveness looks like. That's what love does. Now consider for a moment the potential inner turmoil Philemon might have, as we may have as well when it comes to forgiving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We might consider all the wrong that happened to us and all the suffering we've endured. But listen to Paul's response to this potential objection. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, he says, charge that to my account. Paul says that he will repay whatever the debt is. Philemon, you write down all the wrongs and the debts that Onesimus has against you, and you charge it to my account. I, Paul, will pay it. This isn't what Paul wants. Listen to the rest of what Paul says. He says, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Paul doesn't want a list of wrongs, but Paul wants Philemon to realize how he owes his own life and also possesses a great debt. Paul is telling Philemon to erase the account of wrongs and be willing to absorb the debt against himself. Consider for a moment how the New Testament repeatedly uses this picture as how Christians respond to wrongs done against them. Paul wrote the Corinthian church and told them, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Paul also wrote in the same letter to those Christians who had wrongs against each other and were taking each other to court over these matters. Paul said, why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Just suffer the wrong. Why not be defrauded? This is your Christian brother or sister. You are acting wrong and defrauding rather than just suffering the wrong. We forgive the record of wrongs that a Christian has committed against us because we certainly have a record of debts that others have against us. And more importantly, we have a debt that cannot be paid to God. We owe our very lives to God. How can we possibly withhold forgiveness when we have such a great debt forgiven by our God? We forgive others because God has forgiven us. That's what love does. Not only this, Paul knows that because Philemon is a lover of the Lord, that he will go above and beyond what Paul is asking. This should be our desire as well. We should not begrudgingly do minimum for one another. We should go above and beyond for our brothers and sisters in Christ who desire forgiveness. Going above and beyond is giving even of ourselves. Notice that Paul does not say that he plans to come visit Philemon. Listen to what Paul says in verse 22. He says, I will be graciously given to you. Christians give themselves for each other. I give my life to you, and you give your life to me. We adopt a whole new view of life and view of each other when we belong to Christ. Now we see each other as people who belong to Christ, partners of grace, family in Christ, which trumps all else. The gospel takes our unworthiness and our uselessness and makes us useful to the Lord. We are made useful by God's grace. The grace that we read and teach, the grace that we read and teach radically transforms lives and radically alters our relationships with each other. We set aside our rights with each other and give ourselves to each other. We have been forgiven and received by God so that we can become useful again. We must forgive and receive one another, even if they have harmed us, so that they can be useful to the family of Christ. Forgiveness is the opportunity for good to come from the evil that has happened previously. Let us end this evening by considering verse 20. It reads, "Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord." He says, "Refresh my heart in Christ." Forgiveness is refreshing. Forgiveness is beautiful. Forgiveness brings joy and comfort. But forgiveness is hard. Our natural temptation is to hold on to our bitterness and our grudges because someone has done something wrong to us. But you are showing love and refreshment to that person when you forgive. You are showing the same love God showed you. Forgiveness is beneficial to all. The soul is refreshed through Christian love and behavior. But ultimately, why do we need to forgive? We need to forgive because all of us are Onesimus. This letter was preserved for this church and for us because all of us have done wrong and are in need of forgiveness. We need to forgive. We need to forgive because we need to be forgiven. Not only do we need to be forgiven by God, but how many times have you needed your errors and mistakes overlooked by another person? Are we going to pretend that we do not need to be forgiven and therefore act superior and be unwilling to forgive another? Even Paul refused to act superior, and Paul had every right to do so. Forgiveness is walking in faith. I'm sure you have needed forgiveness from others. We all need forgiveness from God. And so I appeal to you this evening for love's sake, forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. My hope and prayer is that you will see this lesson as useful, pun intended. And I'd just like to thank you all for your attention and your focus. I would like to extend the invitation to anyone that is in need of help. Maybe you're going through a storm in life right now that's overwhelming and you just need somebody to help you. Maybe you'd like to become a Christian. We got some nice cold water back there for you. And so whatever your needs, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.